Guardian Unlimited. Wolf Brother by Michelle Paver is read by Ian McKellen and brought to you by audible.co.uk. Listen out for next week's instalment.
Chapter 15. Torak came up spluttering with cold, fighting the river. He was a strong swimmer, so he wasn't too worried. He'd grab that branch jutting from the bank. The next one, then. Behind him he heard Wren shouting his name as she tore through the brambles and Wolf's urgent barks. It occurred to him that the brambles must be very thick, as Wren and Wolf were dropping further and further behind. The river punched him in the back, smashing him limp as a wet leaf against a rock. He went under. He kicked his way to the surface and was shocked to see how far he'd been carried. He couldn't hear Wren or Wolf any more, and the waterfall was sliding closer with astonishing speed, drowning all voices but its own. His jerkin and leggings were dragging him down. The cold had deadened his limbs to sticks of bone and flesh, working without feeling to keep his head above the surface. He couldn't see anything except white foam waves and a blur of willows. Then even that disappeared as he went under again. It came to him quite clearly that he would be swept over the waterfall and killed. No time for fear, just a distant anger that it should end like this. Poor Wolf. Who's going to look after him now? And poor Wren. Let's hope she doesn't find the body. It'll be a mess. Death boomed at him. A rainbow flashed through the spume and spray. Then the waves smoothed out like a skin, and suddenly there was no more river in front, and it was hard to breathe as he went over. Death reached up and pulled him down, and it was shining and smooth, like the moment of falling asleep. Over and over he fell, water filling his mouth, his nose, his ears. The river swallowed him whole. He was inside it, and it roared through him, this pounding power of water. Somehow he surfaced, gulping air. Then it pulled him down again into its swirling green depths. The roar of the river faded. Lights flashed in his head. He sank. The water turned from blue to dark green to black. He was languid and frozen past feeling. He longed to give up and sleep. He became aware of a faint bubbling laughter. Hair like green water-weed trailed across his throat. Cruel faces leered at him with merciless white eyes. "Come to us," called the hidden people of the river. "Let your souls float free of that dull, heavy flesh." He felt sick, as if his guts were being pulled loose. "See, see," laughed the hidden people. "How swiftly his souls begin to drift free. How eagerly they come to us." Torak turned over and over like a dead fish. The hidden people were right. It would be so easy to leave his body and let them roll him forever in their cold embrace. Wolf's desperate yowl cut through to him. Torak opened his eyes. Silver bubbles streamed through the dark as the hidden people fled. Again, Wolf called to him. Wolf needed him. There was something they had to do together. Flailing his numb stick limbs, he began to fight his way back towards the surface. The green grew brighter. The light drew him. He'd nearly reached it when something made him look down, and he saw them. Far below, two blind white eyes staring up at him. What were they? River pearls? The eyes of one of the hidden people? The prophecy. The riddle. Deepest of all, the drowned sight. His chest was bursting. If he didn't get air soon, he would die. But if he didn't swim down now and grasp those eyes, whatever they were, he would lose them forever. He doubled over and kicked with all his might, pushing himself down. The cold made his eyes ache, but he didn't dare shut them. Closer and closer he swam. He reached out towards the bottom. He grasped a handful of icy mud. He had them. No way to make sure. The mud was swirling thick around him, and he couldn't risk opening his fist in case they slipped free, but he could feel the weight of them dragging him down. He twisted round and kicked back towards the light. But his strength was failing, and he rose with agonizing slowness, hampered by his sodden clothes. More lights flashed in his head, more watery laughter. Too late. whispered the hidden people. "You'll never reach the light now. Stay here with us, boy with the drifting souls. Stay here forever." Something grabbed his leg and pulled him down. He kicked, couldn't get free. Something was gripping his legging just above the ankle. He twisted round to wrench himself free, but the grip held tight. He tried to draw his knife from its sheath, but he'd tightened the strap around the hilt before starting the crossing, and he couldn't get it loose. Anger boiled up inside him. "Get away from me," he shouted inside his head. "You can't have me, and you can't have the Nanwak." Fury lent him strength, and he kicked out savagely. The grip on his leg broke. Something gave a gurgling howl and sank into the darkness. Torak shot upwards. He exploded from the water, gulping great chestfuls of air. Through the glare of the sun, he glimpsed a sheet of green river and an overhanging branch approaching him fast. With his free hand, he grabbed for it and missed. Pain exploded in his head. He knew that he hadn't been knocked out. He could still feel the slap of the river and hear his rasping breath, but his eyes were open and staring, and he couldn't see. Panic seized him. "Not blind," he thought. "No, no, please. Not blind." Chapter 16. The female tailless was whimpering and waving her forepaws, so Wolf left her and hurtled down the track. When he smelt Tall Tailless among the willows, he began to whimper too. His pack brother was slumped over a log, half in the wet. He smelt strongly of blood and wasn't moving at all. Wolf licked his cold cheek, but Tall Tailless didn't stir. Was he not breath? Wolf put up his muzzle and howled. A clumsy crashing announced the female tailless. Wolf leapt to defend his pack brother, but she pushed him away, hooked her forepaws under Tall Tailless's shoulders, and hauled him out of the wet. Despite himself, Wolf was impressed. He watched as she put her forepaws on Tall Tailless's chest and pressed down hard. Tall Tailless began to cough. Tall Tailless had breath again. But just as Wolf was jumping onto his pack brother to snuffle-lick his muzzle, he was battered away again. Heedless of Wolf's warning growls, the female pulled Tall Tailless to his legs, and they staggered up the bank. Tall Tailless kept blundering into hazel bushes, as if he couldn't see. Watchfully, Wolf walked beside them, relaxing a little when they reached a den a good distance from the fast wet, a proper den, not a small, airless one. Still, the female wouldn't let Wolf near his pack brother. Snarling, Wolf slammed her with his body. Instead of moving away, she picked up a stick and threw it out of the den, pointing at it and then at Wolf. Wolf ignored her and turned back to Tall Tailless, who was trying to tug off his pelt. Finally, Tall Tailless had only the long dark fur on his head. He lay curled on his side with his eyes shut, shaking with cold. His poor, furless underpelt was no use at all. Wolf leant against him to warm him up, while the female tailless quickly brought to life the bright beast that bites hot. Tall Tailless moved closer to the warmth, and Wolf watched anxiously in case he got his paws bitten. That was when Wolf noticed that one of Tall Tailless's forepaws held something that was giving off a strange glow. Wolf sniffed at it and backed away. It smelt of hunter and prey, and fast wet, and tree, all chewed up together, and from it came a high, thin humming, so high that Wolf could only just catch it. Wolf was frightened. He knew that he was in the presence of something very, very strong. Torak huddled in his sleeping sack, shivering uncontrollably. His head was on fire, and his whole body felt like one big bruise, but worst of all, he couldn't see. Blind, blind, thudded his heart. Above the crackle of the fire, he heard Ren muttering angrily, "Were you trying to get yourself killed?" "What?" he said, but it came out as a mumble, because his mouth was thick with the salty sweetness of blood. "You'd nearly reached the surface," said Ren, pressing what he felt like cobwebs to his forehead. "Then you turned round and swam, deliberately swam back down again." He realized that she didn't know about the Nanwak, but his fist was so cold that he couldn't unclench it to show her. He felt Wolf's hot tongue on his face. A chink of light appeared. Then a big black nose. Torak's spirit soared. "I could see," he said. "What?" snapped Wren. "Well, of course you could see. You cut your forehead when you hit that branch, and the blood got in your eyes. Scalp wounds bleed a lot. Didn't you know that?" Torak was so relieved that he would have laughed if his teeth hadn't been chattering so violently. He saw that they were in a small cave with earth walls. A birchwood fire was burning fiercely, and already his sodden clothes, hanging from tree roots jutting through the ceiling, were beginning to steam. The thunder of the falls was loud, and from its sound and the view of treetops at the cave mouth, he guessed they must be some way up the side of the valley. He couldn't remember getting there. Wren must have dragged him. He wondered how she'd managed it. She was kneeling beside him, looking shaken. "You've been very, very lucky," she said. "Now hold still." From her medicine pouch, she took some dried yarrow leaves and crumbled them in her palm. Then, having picked off the cobwebs, she pressed the yarrow leaves to his forehead. They stuck tight to the wound in an instant scab. Torak shut his eyes and listened to the never-ending fury of the falls. Wolf crawled into the sleeping sack with him, wriggling till he got comfortable. He felt gloriously furry and warm as he licked Torak's shoulder. Torak licked his muzzle in reply. When he awoke, he wasn't shivering any more, and he was still clutching the nanwak. He could feel its weight in his fist. Wolf was nosing about in the back of the cave, and Wren was sorting herbs in her lap. Torak's pack, boots, quiver and bow were neatly piled behind her. He realized that to retrieve them, she must have crossed the river again, twice. "Wren," he said. "What?" she said without looking up. From her tone he could tell that she was still cross. "You got me out of the river. You got me all the way up here. You even fetched my things. I can't imagine. I mean, that was brave." She did not reply. "Wren," he said again. "What?" "I had to swim down. I had to."
"Why?"
Awkwardly he brought out the hand that held the nanwak and unclenched his fingers. As soon as he did, the fire seemed to sink. Shadows leapt on the cave walls. The air seemed to crackle like the moment after a lightning strike. Wolf stopped dozing and gave a warning grunt. Wren went very still. The river eyes lay in Torak's palm in a nest of green mud, glowing faintly like the moon on a misty night. As he gazed at them, Torak felt an echo of the sickness that had tugged at him at the bottom of the river. "This is it, isn't it?" he said. "Deepest of all, the drowned sight, the first part of the nanwak." The colour had drained from Wren's face. "Don't move," she said, and scrambled out of the cave, returning soon after with a bunch of scarlet rowan leaves. "Lucky there's mud on your hand," she said. "You mustn't let it touch your skin. It might suck out your own part of the world soul."
"Is that what was happening?" he murmured. "In the river, I was beginning to feel dizzy." He told her about the hidden people. She looked horrified. "How did you dare? If they'd caught you..." She made the sign of the hand to ward off evil. "I can't believe you've just been sleeping with it in your fist. There's no time to lose."
Bringing out a little black pouch from inside her jerkin, she stuffed it with the rowan leaves. "The leaves should protect us," she said, "and the pouch should help too. It's raven skin." Grasping Torak's wrist, she tipped the river eyes into the pouch and drew the neck tight. As soon as the nanwak was hidden, the flames grew and the shadows shrank. The air in the cave stopped crackling. Torak felt as if a weight had been taken from him. He watched Wolf pad over and lie down beside Wren with his muzzle between his paws, gazing at the pouch on her lap and whining softly. "Do you think he can smell it?" she asked.
"Or maybe hear it," said Torak. "I don't know."
Wren shivered. "Just as long as nothing else can, too."
The first three books in the Chronicles of Ancient Darkness series by Michelle Paver are available to download at audible.co.uk for the special multi-buy price of £14.99 until the end of August. If you enjoyed Wolf Brother, You'll want to join The Clan, the official worldwide fan site for all readers of the Chronicles of Ancient Darkness series. The Clan is where thousands of fans just like you meet for games and chat, role-playing, art competitions, writing contests and quizzes. Best of all, it's free. So go to www.torak.info, that's TORAK.INFO, and join The Clan now.
Guardian Unlimited.